In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18, it says, "And when you fast," this is Jesus saying, "don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." Jesus, in Matthew 6:16, isn't correcting behavior. He's addressing the heart behind the behavior. And so there was this practice that he began to, you know, he noticed that everybody wanted to show that, "Hey, I'm fasting. Oh, how come you're, what's wrong with you?" "Oh, I'm fasting. You know, I'm doing it to the Lord." And what he's sort of like saying to us is that, hey, you don't need to sort of like do all that carry on. There's something about prayer. There's something about this discipline of fasting that the Lord is inviting us, that there are certain things that are done in secret. And you don't have to broadcast to everybody that I'm going in for my devotional with the Lord, or I'm going in. No, do it in private, where only God can see. If you understand the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus talks about giving. He talks about prayer and fasting. And the words that he uses around giving, around prayer and fasting, is when you give, when you pray, not if. So there is an expectation that the Lord does, that this is a part of our lives, that we are going to be people that are generous, we are going to be people that are prayerful, and we are going to be people that practice the discipline of fasting. But what he's warning us against is performative spirituality, where we are doing things that so that other people can notice us. So he's saying, don't give to be seen. Don't give, don't pray to be heard, and don't fast to be admired. Why would he say that? He says, because when people become the audience, their approval becomes the reward. So all you will get is when everybody says, "Wow, Shiresh, my goodness, he's a prayer. Shiresh is a faster." No. That is the only reward that I'll get. And the problem you see is that that reward is temporary in our lives. That's the end of it. And so Jesus reframes the whole practice around giving, around prayer, around fasting. He's basically saying the audience changes from people to the Father. So your audience changes from people to the Father. So the issue is the motivation for why you do things. Are you doing it so that you would impress people and that everybody is patting you on the back and giving you high fives to say, "Man, you're super spiritual, you know your word," and all, which are all good things to do. You know, there's nothing wrong with these practices, but it's the motivation behind it. So this is what happens, you see. Private obedience produces public fruit. And what is done for God's eyes carries God's reward. Now, fasting in the Bible, so you have to understand that Jesus is speaking to a people that understood, that had the practice of fasting. They had the practice, in Judaism, that's what they used to do. They used to, you know, fast all the time. But he's sort of like changing it, that, hey, your motivation and who you're doing it to is very important. And so the first time that fasting is mentioned that I could research was when Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights when he was getting the commandments. It says that when he got them, then he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses, his encounter for fasting was that he encountered the Lord. We know that there was a practice where the prophets would come and say to the people, "Hey, you guys have sinned." And one of the ways that they would show contrition for their sins was to do what? Put on sackcloth and ashes and fast. And what they had, we see when the prophets came, was the fasting produced alignment in their lives. They were aligning themselves. Hey, we're going to align ourselves to what the Lord says because we haven't been following him. And then, of course, when Jesus comes, he introduces intimacy. So the practice of fasting when the Lord came is fasting for intimacy, not just fasting for what you will get, which there's nothing wrong with that. There's a time and a place for it. But now when we come to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, I just want to know you more. That's the reason that I'm coming to fast. So fasting for intimacy, I think, is the strongest form of fasting, where you're not fasting because you're trying to get something out of it, but you're saying, Lord, I just want to know you more and more. And so the question, I guess, is that why fast? What were the reasons that people fasted? So people would fast for deliverance. They would fast for breakthrough. They would fast for direction and for intimacy. Now, fasting for deliverance is saying, God, please act on our behalf. We're struggling. If you don't come, then all hell is going to break loose in our lives. Fasting for breakthrough is that if there's a resistance that you're facing and you're saying, Lord, I need you to come and break something off in our lives. And then, of course, sometimes we fast when we're fasting for direction. Lord, show us which way we should go. Let's say you're making a choice about a career. You're saying, Lord, show me. But fasting for intimacy is that, God, I just want you. I'm coming here not because of what I can get, but because I want to know you better. I want to know you more. And so this morning when we talk about fasting for deliverance, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to 17, but I'm going to be paraphrasing as I go through, it says, after this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazanon Tamar. And so Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. And because he was the king and he had the power, he said, hey, everyone in Judah should begin fasting. And so because the king said it, everybody had no choice but to do it, to begin fasting. And so it says that the people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. And here he goes, Jehoshaphat begins, he stands before the community, and he begins at the temple of God, and he says, O Lord God, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you. O God, now he begins to remind God of what the Lord had done. Did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendant of your friend Abraham? So there's a theme here where he's reminding God of what the Lord had did, but also of God's promises. He says, your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And then he says, now see what these armies are doing to us. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how these people have rewarded us. They have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. It sounds, when you get into a whole lot of trouble, and you're starting to remind God of his promises. Hey, Lord, your word says this. Your word says this about me. And then he says that as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, so on and so forth. He was a Levite. And he says, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, and so the instruction came out, tomorrow, march out against them. You'll find them coming up. So the Lord gives them the strategy. He says, you meet them at the valley, at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. This deliverance fasting is a cry for divine intervention when the situation is beyond human capacity. So when disaster strikes you, it strikes your family. What this is telling us is giving us a blueprint of how we actually go to the Lord. We cry out to him based on his what? His promises, bringing those promises to remembrance. This type of fasting is saying, God, if you don't move, we can't survive. If you don't move, we can't survive. And as we cry out to him for deliverance, this is what happens. He shifts our circumstances. Our enemies are exposed. And most importantly, battles are won without human strength. So you see here from what happened, the guy who sort of like said, this is what the Lord is saying. It said that deliverance fasting does not empower people to fight harder. It positions God to fight for them. Because he says the battle is the Lord's. He gives them the strategy. Go here to this valley. And in fact, even if you go, you will not have to do anything. Because God is going to do it all. This is what when things happen in your life in 2026, you are running to God. And you are being, you see, the interesting thing is that if we read this the start of this scripture, it says, the armies of the Moabites, they declared war. Now, he didn't know that war was declared, just like you will not know what is coming up against you in 2026. And then it says that messengers had to be sent. Messengers came and told him, hey, a vast army. Now, you have to understand, you see, if they just said, there's an army, you'd be thinking, you know what, you start counting, I've got maybe 5,000 guys I can win. He says a vast army. It was playing on his imagination. So the word vast, what does the word vast mean? Vast. Big. Just like when the doctor tells you, hey, we have found something. They give you the worst case scenario. So sometimes we don't know that war has been declared against us. But what we do know from this is that there is a blueprint that we use. We don't accept that. We accept that, yes, okay, the army has been gathered against us. We accept that things have been, weapons have been sharpened against us. But guess what? We stand on the promises of God. So we go to the word of God and say, Lord, this is what your word says in this particular situation. And then we're saying, God, we know this is what the doctor said. This is what the economy is saying. Everybody's sort of like waiting with bated breath for February when the Reserve Bank is probably going to increase interest rates. I mean, but guess what? There's a blueprint that we've been given here that when disaster strikes us, when we get things that are not in our favor, we go to the Lord. We remind him of his promises. And it says, God will act on your behalf just as he did there. Amen? You will come across situations where we are fasting for deliverance. You need to come, Lord. If you don't move, disaster is coming our way. One of the other reasons that we fast is for breakthrough. We want God to break some resistance in our lives. There is an opposition that we are facing and we just don't know how to deal with it. So I got two options here. Let me go with the one in Ezra. No, let's do Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. And he says, when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time, I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. And so what happened is that when he saw this vision, he then got a messenger that came to him to strengthen him. And so what happens is that the angel came and began to explain to Daniel the vision that he had seen. And even though sometimes when we face a resistance that we don't know in our lives, that as we begin to fast, we're saying, Lord, we need you to break this resistance that we're facing in our lives. So this breakthrough fasting addresses delay, resistance, or spiritual opposition. We know that Daniel's fast did not change God's will. It cleared the interference that he was facing, because the angel said that I could have, from the moment you started praying or fasting, I was released to come and give you the message. But he said, I was opposed by the prince of Persia. And it was only, I think, when he says Michael came and supported him, which is Michael was a type of warrior angel. And so this is what happens. Spiritual resistance is confronted when we fast for breakthrough. The timing of God is unlocked and we get strength and perseverance. So breakthrough fasting is about aligning our persistence with heaven's timing, that things would happen in the timing of God over our lives. And I'll mention this before I get Pastor Onami just to come and say some things. So over those maybe 5 years, we moved to Perth in 2019. And as we moved to Perth, we were renting here in Perth. We moved from Port, the mighty town of Port Hedland. And we came here and we were obviously renting and we've been praying, oh, you know, can we get a house? And, you know, and so every year when we would do this fast, I would write down, you know, house, house, house. And, you know, it didn't happen. We didn't just do nothing. We would go and visit, you know, home opens, would go there and check it out. And then, you know, there were time, I think in 2022, that it started to go, you know, the market just started to go absolutely crazy. You'd go to visit one home open and there's like 40 people there. And you knew, no chance. So the house would be listed, let's just say, at $100, you know, but by the time you put offers in, I say, okay, I'll pay $101. They're like, nah, the nearest offer is $300. And so you realize this is what the market was going absolutely crazy. So, you know, we pulled back. And then last year, we began again, you know, looking. We went to different places. Others were praying for us. And then one day towards the end of July, after our July fast, I was just chilling at home. I had a meeting at 3:30 in the city. And my wife just comes back home from work and says, oh, I'm not feeling well. Okay, so she was not feeling well. She came home. And what then happened is that she says, oh, you're going to Africa in about a few weeks and our lease is coming up. It's expiring. So what are we going to do? And I said, nah. And I said this, you know, just to sort of like get off my back. And I just said, oh, just keep searching. Just search for a house. And eventually she said, okay, she went right there and then she went onto the Riwa, the website, and found, and she says, oh, I found this property. Let me call the real estate agent. And then she called them and the lady said, oh, you can come for a viewing. That was at about 2 o'clock. We went. As soon as we came out of there, we looked at the house. We're like, yeah, boom, we'll buy this. By the next morning, the house was sold to us. Now, the reason why I want to say this is just about, you know what this market was like. You get, in fact, they didn't even do a home open. They just, you know, they just accepted the offer that we put in. the second offer, I think they... My point is this, and why I want to give praise to the Lord is because had this thing gone to market and they had a home open, probably 8, 9, 10, 15 people would have come. And I bet you the price that we paid for it would not have been the price that we paid for it. And that God was gracious. And if you even hear the story from the selling agent, she said that her son missed or his appointment was delayed or canceled. And that is why she became available. So there was a timing that the Lord worked things out in his timing. And my encouragement is that, hey, you know, perhaps you've never fasted before. Don't start with a 21-day fast. But fast something. Do something. Even if you're going to miss a meal, start off with that. Just begin that discipline and make it part of your what? Your lifestyle. And that God is a God of what? Deliverance and a God of breakthrough. And I'm just going to invite Pastor Onami to just come and share something, and then I'll continue on with and finish the message off.
Thank you. Morning, church. Okay, yeah, so I'd forgotten that the house thing happened just after the fast. It was just amazing. One of the things that amazed me was that we found out that the owners of the house, their children are pastors, and it has a pool, and in that pool, the youth group was always there. You know, it's sometimes there's just these little things that happen where you feel like that's just God showing off. Have you ever felt like that? Like God is just showing off? And to top it off for me, and this is more personal for me, I discovered, don't ask me how I didn't see it, but 2 weeks later, I discovered that the right in front of the yard is a mulberry tree. I hadn't seen it before, and we've enjoyed a few since then. But for me, the mulberry tree represents my grandparents. Every time we'd go for school holiday, I can even see it right now, you know? And I just felt like God just plonked that there for me. Like, that's just how I feel about it. So there's so many things that are amazing about God. But what I wanted to share was about just, you know, Pastor Stephen was talking about fasting and breakthrough. Sometimes when we think about breakthrough, it becomes this really, really big word. But for me, at our last fast, the breakthrough was just God reminding me of something. Because I had my list of things that I was praying for, you know, relationship with God, marriage, work, business, kids, and all of that. But it was God reminding me. And the first reminder he gave me during that time, that first day of the fast, was that in 2022, I had this dream. And in the dream, someone was standing in front of me with a baby. And they said, your son is of royal blood. Your son is of royal blood. I'm like, okay, what's that about? 1 Peter 2:9 says, for us, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's you and I. So that word, your son is of royal blood, can apply to us all as individuals, but as a church, that is our identity. But on a more personal note, I felt like God was reminding me about my son. I've got a son, he's 20 years old. I hadn't specifically been praying about him during the fast, but I had been in the past because he was just like in that stage, you know, 20-year-old young man. And it was like God was just reminding me about my son that 2 years before I got married, I had a dream of my son. And I see this boy, and same complexion as me, and I heard the words, this is your son. He is going to bring you so much joy. And I woke up from that dream thinking, okay, that means I'm going to marry this man. That means that our child, firstborn, is going to be a son. So it was like God was just bringing these dreams to me. And I was all of a sudden, you know, when I talk about the breakthrough as the reminder, I felt like God was saying, don't take your dreams for granted. Some of us here are dreamers. Some of us see visions. The first week that I met Pastor Stephen, I had a vision of him standing behind a pulpit. We were not married. We had just met. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a preacher man, right? That was the first day that I met him. And I just wanted to encourage every single one of you that God does speak to you. It may not be through dreams, it may be through other things, but pay attention. Everything that you have questions about, God has already given you the answers. You're just not seeing them. So as we pray, we want to pray that the Lord would open up our eyes so that we can see, open up our spiritual eyes. God cares about every single thing that you care about. And so for me, that was the breakthrough. So thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Then we fast for direction in our lives. God, show us the way. So it says in Acts chapter 13, it says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria was Barnabas, Simon, called the black man, and Lucius, and a host of other people. It says, one day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. This fasting for direction is practiced. Direction fasting is practiced before decisions, not after mistakes. This fasting says we will not move until heaven, what? Until heaven speaks. We saw the blueprint there is that the Holy Spirit speaks clearly. The leaders were appointed. And the mission, obviously, was clarified because he says, select for me, separate for me Paul and Silas for the special work that I have for them. Direction fasting produces clarity, not pressure. God's voice becomes clearer as our human agendas quieten down and there's alignment in our lives. But lastly, as we finish for today, you see, if you're fasting in your life and you are not becoming free as a person, because the more you fast, the better you should become as an individual. If you can't fast and still be grumpy and still hold agendas of unforgiveness against people, because fasting leads to transformation from within. You see, in Isaiah 58, it says, this is the Lord saying, tell my people Israel of their sins. They act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice. I tell you why I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you'll be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. This is as we finish. I'll just get the team to come back up. This passage is the clearest corrective antidote or action to religious fasting. God says the fast that he chooses is one that loosens or looses the chains of injustice, unties the cords of the yoke, sets the oppressed free, and breaks every yoke. Because sometimes when we fast, the goal is not just, you know, I haven't eaten in 21 days. Abstinence. It's not that. The goal is liberation. That it has to do something to you on the inside. Because as you begin to recognize the Lord, as you begin to draw closer to him, that beef or that anger that you had on the inside has to dissipate. There has to be a liberation that comes into your life. Because fasting is meant to free you, not bind you. It looses internal bondages. It exposes within all of us our false dependencies. It breaks the cycles of fear, control, and self-reliance. Now, if fasting, if after fasting I'm more judgmental, more anxious, more performance-driven, more proud or harsh, then the fast has become more about external discipline without internal surrender. Let's stand this morning. Liberation in our lives is the goal. Slowly but surely, it begins to change us from the inside, that we become more and more like Christ. Not, you know, when we start fasting, we start to resemble Satan more and more. We grumble, you know, we're shouting at our kids, you know. You might do that maybe after fasting for 21 days, but, you know, and not eating anything. But generally, what the Lord is saying to you and I, you see, I had this 21 days and we're going for it. No, I think I'm glad we started with 3 days. The Lord is saying when you fast and not if. And the Lord wants to do things in your life, bring breakthrough, deliverance, transformation. Because the Lord desires relationship with you above everything else. He desires relationship with you. And this is us separating ourselves to say, hey, Lord, for the next 7 days, Lord, we're going to seek your face. And how you do it, that's between you and the Lord. Whether you miss one meal, 2 meals. Now, if you're a person that takes medication, the wise thing to do is to do it, is to take your medication. Let's not be, we've got to be smarter. But it's, hey, Lord, because if you have to take medication and you need to take food, well, do that. There's something else you can give up. Maybe your phone. Turn it off. Let every, you know, just separate yourself to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord God, this morning. I thank you for your people here at C3 Fremantle. That they are a people of purpose. They are your people. That you are calling them to times of intimacy. And Father, as a church, Lord God, we Lord God, separate ourselves to you over the next 7 days. That we want you, we seek you. And for whatever they're seeking you, Lord God, in their lives, let it be, Father. Let it be to them, Lord God, that they would experience the breakthrough. They would experience the deliverance in their lives. But that you would transform their lives. Father, I thank you that fasting in our lives would become a lifestyle. And just before, as we always do in our service, that we give an opportunity for people to know the Lord Jesus Christ and say, hey, I commit my life to Jesus. And I'm just going to lead everybody through a prayer, and I invite you to join in with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me on the cross so that I can be in relationship with you. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If that is you this morning that has prayed that prayer that, hey, I'm inviting the Lord into my lives. With every eye closed and head bowed, I just want you to raise your hand so that you can see me and then we can help you along this journey. We're just going to finish off with some worship this morning. But if you need prayer during that time of worship as we finish, just come to the front and our team will pray with you. Whatever it is that that you need prayer for, we're going to believe with you that God will bring deliverance and breakthrough in your lives. Father, bless your people as they leave this place and even as they embark, Father, over the next 7 days, Lord God, over this fast. May they experience you more than before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing.